So 4 weeks ago, I began a summer sermon series, and then I left town. So it's time to pick that up again. And we're talking about scripture passages that are worth remembering, perhaps even memorizing. And about 2 months ago, when I chose this memorization verse as part of the series, I did not foresee how appropriate this verse would be for the week that I just experienced, especially that part about waiting for the Lord. I'll come back to that. If you were to look at the book of Isaiah, as well as many other places in the Bible, you would see the way it's laid out that some of the text is narrative, perhaps telling a story or recounting a history or maybe presenting a conversation. And Bible editors, in getting ready to print those Bibles, they lay out such texts in familiar paragraph form. But other sections of the Bible, like today's verses from Isaiah, are laid out like poetry. That's because it is poetry. Now, in English, we often recognize poetry because of a certain rhythm of the words, or maybe because of a rhyming pattern that we hear. Hebrew poetry is different. Hebrew poetry is often recognizable by its use of what they call parallelism. Parallelism, which in its simplest form is simply a restatement of a thought using different words to convey that thought. So look at the back page of today's bulletin, that excerpt from Isaiah chapter 40. In particular, look at verse 31, and most particular, look at just that first line of verse 31. But those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. Then the poet uses parallel or similar thoughts in the next three lines to describe what it would be like if the Lord renews their strength. It'll be like they mount up with wings, take flight like eagles. It'll be like they run but they don't grow weary, that they walk and they won't even faint. So just say that you decided you wanted to memorize this verse to become a resource for you, something to turn to when you're worn out or you're discouraged. If you memorize that first line, the next three lines are simply variations of the first. Renew their strength, mount up like eagles, run but not be weary, walk but not faint. But what does it mean, though, for believers to wait for the Lord? Isaiah doesn't use that phrase, wait for the Lord, to suggest that we stubbornly wait for God to do what we want God to do. No, in urging Israel to wait for the Lord, Isaiah suggests that by waiting for the Lord, believers open themselves to trust in whatever it is that God has in store. Well, how do you wait for the Lord? By setting aside time and attentiveness and a willing spirit. When you wait for the Lord, you are more likely to notice God's presence and activity in your daily life. So this past week, Jess Bohannon, who's sitting right there, hi Jess, did you get some sleep last night? Good. This last week, Jess and Jacob Ulowitz and me, the three J's, Jess, Jacob, John, we were the small but mighty contingent from this church that participated in this year's youth mission trip. Jess and Jacob were two of, get ready for this, 316 youth from churches in Texas and Nebraska and Minnesota, Wisconsin, Illinois, Iowa, South Carolina, Arkansas, Missouri, and Ohio. Our group was the smallest, right? There was another group, they thought they were the smallest. There were three kids and two adults, but we had them beat. The largest youth group had 72 kids in it. Now, it was a joint youth group sponsored by several churches in their Minneapolis suburb. The churches come together to sponsor one youth group. All of us were housed in the local high school in East Moline, Illinois, with classrooms as our sleeping areas. Boys are down one hallway, the girls are down another. We ate our meals in the high school cafeteria, we worshiped in their auditorium, and the kids hung out everywhere. Now, mission trips take various forms. Sometimes they involve a week of service to a local nonprofit organization like a food bank or a shelter or a YMCA. We've done things like that here. Sometimes mission trips take the form of a work camp focused on completing home repairs and home improvements for poorer residents or maybe persons with physical or emotional challenges, maybe senior citizens. That's what we did this year. So the organization that ran our work camp, an organization called Group Ministries, they created 53 different work crews out of the 316 kids, plus about 70 adult advisors, which included, as far as I can tell, maybe three other ministers. And Group takes the kids and they split the kids up from the different churches so that they're working mostly with kids from other churches. They're not all with their same people. And so the crew that I advised had kids from Nebraska and Iowa and Illinois, Minnesota and Wisconsin. They'd never met each other until this last Sunday night. And though part of your day at work camp is spent with your church's own youth group, most of your day is spent with your crew of kids from all over. Each day after breakfast, each day began with a morning program that included a brief worship component. At lunchtime, at our individual work sites, after lunch, we had devotions with our work crew that was always led by one of the kids. After dinner, the work crews came back together. We sat together for the evening program that always included a longer worship component. And from there, we were dismissed to find our youth groups, and each youth group would get back together and would head off for some corner of the school where we would have our evening devotions. So if you count that up, the schedule intentionally included at least four times each day for the kids and the advisors to wait for the Lord. You waited for the Lord not simply to show up, but to show you something. And I ask you, how could you create even one time each day for you to wait for the Lord? Because when you wait for the Lord, maybe God shows you something that you've always seen, but you'd never actually noticed. That happened to me this week. When you wait for the Lord, maybe you begin to view someone with a new sense of appreciation and gratitude. When you wait for the Lord, maybe you realize that what you've always considered a character flaw in somebody is actually the scar from some trauma that they experienced and that they're trying to work past. When you wait for the Lord, maybe you become aware that your pride and ego are keeping you from submitting to what God wants from you. Or as 316 kids coming together from north and south and east and west discovered, when you wait for the Lord, God may show you that there are people all over, people all around you who you can serve in some way, perhaps small, perhaps great, but always meaningful. And when you wait for the Lord, God just might reveal to you the reality that those opportunities to serve exist not only at some overseas mission, or at some distant work camp for a week each summer. Opportunities to serve also exist here where you live, in your community, in your church, on your street, and yes, in your home. Isaiah says that those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. Maybe a way to understand renewing your strength is to think about your cell phone. For as kids are well aware, a cell phone can last only so long, and then it has to be recharged. It has to have its strength renewed. Now, over the years, I've chaperoned a lot of youth trips for churches and schools. In the past 10 years, I've seen that one of the biggest concerns kids have while they're traveling is how and where and when they'll be able to recharge their cell phones. When you pull into a restaurant or a rest stop and the kids are looking for the electrical outlets. When Jacob and I joined the 11 other guys who we'd be bunking with in a high school English classroom last Sunday night, we were among the last to arrive. And the early arrivals had claimed spots along the walls nearest the electrical outlets. Like I said, I've done this before. I brought a power strip. And we found an audiovisual cart in a corner of the room that had an extension cord built into it. So we wheeled that over, plugged our power strip into that, and we had ourselves electrical power in our corner of the room. Cell phones were happy. This past Wednesday afternoon was scheduled as the free afternoon at work camp. Youth groups were free to do whatever they wanted to do. Some youth groups went to a nearby water park, since the heat index was 116 degrees. Other youth groups went shopping at Walmart, which I know this may be hard to understand, but for the kids from rural Nebraska and rural Texas, that was a treat. They spent hours there. Well, since we were in the Quad Cities, I made sure that Jess and Jacob and I went to the visitor center for the John Deere Company that's headquartered there in Moline, Illinois. The kids actually found it somewhat interesting, right, Jess? I was going to take them there whether they did or didn't. We also briefly visited the home base of the History Channel's American Pickers. Have you ever seen that program? That's across the river in LeClaire, Iowa. I was taking them there, too, regardless. But then we went to the Rock Island County Fair, and we went to Michael's Fun World in Davenport. To my shock and surprise, Jacob and Jess decided that it was too hot outside to race the go-karts. I thought they would enjoy the breeze, but they said no, and I wasn't going to force the issue. Jacob did convince Jess and me to try laser tag, which was indoors. I'd heard of it. I'd never done it before. It's like the children's game of cat and mouse tag. That's basically it. But it's played amid blaring music in a darkened, eerily lighted, obstacle-filled room with lasers. And you're peeking through partitions and around corners and over barricades. You have 10 minutes to search for and shoot at each other with electronic wands that look, really they look more like kitchen faucets than they look like revolvers. And you're wearing this electronic vest and a headset that record whether an opponent's laser has scored a hit on you. Now, though guns and shooting are not my thing, I'll admit that it was kind of fun. Though I'll also admit that I never, ever have to do it again. One of the challenges of laser tag is that every few minutes your laser runs out of shots. It runs out of power, and the voice in your headset starts saying,
Re-energize, re-energize, re-energize.
So then you have to return to your home base without getting shot, where a device quickly recharges your laser, and then you're good to go again. Let me say that again. You have to stop trying to keep going when you have nothing left to give. You have to return to the safety of a home base and reconnect to the source. You have to wait. Now, am I talking about laser tag or life? Yes. So often we're like little children who play so hard that they run out of energy. And you know what happens whenever you see their exhaustion and you suggest that they take a nap? Even in their depleted state, they'll fight having to stop what they're doing in order to re-energize, re-energize, re-energize. We too keep pushing and pushing ourselves, even when we are exhausted physically or emotionally or spiritually. Especially in our culture, we're so doggone sure that we have to be self-reliant, so we strive to manage everything that comes our way by trying to do it all on our own. Trying on our own to carry all the responsibilities of being an employee and a parent and a spouse and an individual with personal needs as well. Trying on our own to navigate a tense relationship at school or at work. Trying on our own to process grief or trying to ignore it. Trying on our own to be perfect and to do all that we can so that our shortcomings are seen by no one. But they are seen. They are seen by God, who knows that you can't carry the burden all by yourself. Your entire life is seen by God, who understands that despite what you may have convinced yourself, the Creator did not design you to do it all on your own. So through the words of the prophet Isaiah, God makes an offer and a promise. Come to me, he says. Trust in me. Live your life in me, God says. And when you find yourself rushing through your day, pushing yourself beyond your limits, wait for me. For those who wait for me shall renew their strength. Imagine springing into flight like an eagle. Imagine enduring a marathon and being ready for more. Imagine walking through last week's heat and not growing faint. Those are words worth remembering. Those are words worth memorizing. Read them with me from the back page of your bulletin. Let's read just verse 31. Just verse 31. Let's read that. But those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. This memorization verse has been popularized by the musical refrain from a Christian song called On Eagle's Wings. It's not in our hymnal, but you may have heard it at some other church. The words of that refrain, just the refrain, are printed on the back page of the bulletin, right underneath the sermon title. Let's sing these words as sort of our prayer of commitment, that we will wait for the Lord so that God will renew our strength. Amen.